Today's a feast of the dedication of a very beautiful and very ancient church in Rome. Even though today is called the dedication of the Basilica of Our Savior, the church we're talking about, as I said, is known today as the Basilica of St. John Lateran in Rome. It has an interesting history that goes back even to pre-Christian times. Of course, the actual structure today is not the same one that existed in ancient times. This building was destroyed several times by both natural disasters and human disasters. But it was rebuilt immediately each time to replace the one that had collapsed. So in a sense, it is really the same building, at least by intention. This building sits on the Lateran Hill in Rome. Rome is known famously as the City of Seven Hills, and one of them is called the Lateran Hill. This building was originally a very large palace belonging to a rich family called the Laterani, after whom the hill was named. It was a member of this family that was the first plebeian to become a consul in Rome, which is one of the highest offices in the government, so they were very important. It must have been a beautiful palace because an ancient writer named Juvenal mentioned this place as the kingly palace of the Laterani. Eventually, Constantine got a hold of it in the 4th century, and you may remember that he was the first Roman emperor to convert to the Catholic faith and to end the persecutions. He gave it to the church very early. We have a record of a council being convened against the Donatist heretics in this church in the year 313, in the very year that the persecutions were lifted. And ever since that time, this church has been, in a sense, the center of Catholic life in Rome. And it has always been the church of the Pope himself. And it is the cathedral church of Rome and the headquarters of the Pope. The original church was dedicated to our Blessed Savior, as you see in the name of the feast today. But later on, it received the name of St. John Lateran because of a Benedictine monastery that was built next to it that was named after St. John the Baptist and St. John the Apostle. And the monks from this monastery, for a while, would celebrate the Divine Liturgy in the Basilica. They would chant the Divine Office and High Mass. And so that's why the name of St. John has stuck to the church until this day. But the popes really loved this church over the centuries. After all, it was really the Pope's personal church in Rome. And we have records of them contributing enormous amounts of money to make it very beautiful, until the people of Rome started to call it the Golden Church. Unfortunately, though, its riches attracted the greed of the Vandal barbarians who sacked Rome and stole all the treasures out of this church. But St. Gregory the Great rebuilt it, and the church that he built lasted several hundred years until it was destroyed in an earthquake. And then that church was rebuilt, and every few centuries since then, it has burned down and been rebuilt by the popes again. This church is very, very impressive. I recommend to you to look it up on the internet when you go home and see how beautiful it is. There's a very ancient mosaic of our Lord himself on the inside of the dome towards the back of the church. We read in ancient sources that when this building was first made into a church in the year 313 by Pope St. Sylvester, there was a mosaic of our Lord on the wall of the church that was unveiled during the ceremony of consecration. And this was the first church ever consecrated to God publicly, because it was the first church that was used as a church after the persecutions came to an end. And it is quite probable that the mosaic that's on the wall today is the same one that the people saw back then. and that it was preserved at least substantially throughout all the disasters that the church has suffered. Probably each time the church either burned down or was pillaged, the people dug through the rubble and rescued what they could of this beautiful mosaic that has been restored and is still on the wall or on the ceiling. The altar in this church is unique in Christendom from the fact that it is the only altar that is allowed to be made of wood rather than stone. And there's an interesting reason for this. During the times of persecution, of course, the clergy always had to say Mass either in people's homes or in the catacombs or in some other hiding place. They couldn't have a permanent church, and so they couldn't have a permanent altar either. So they would just say Mass wherever they could. Now, according to tradition, St. Peter himself traveled around with a sort of a portable wooden altar, like a wooden chest, kind of, that he would say Mass on top of. And all of the popes after him, up until 313, when the persecution came to an end, used the same portable altar that St. Peter used to say Mass. It was kind of like the papal Mass kit of those times. Traditional Catholic priests now do something similar for the same reason, essentially, as the popes of the early church, because we are again in a time of persecution, and Catholic priests again have to say Mass in odd places, because they're not allowed to say Mass in the regular churches. So they do something similar. Now, before Vatican II, every Catholic priest in good standing had a document from his bishop, which was called a celebret, which means in Latin, let him say Mass. And basically, it was like a priest license or a priest ID card in a way. A priest could travel almost anywhere in the world and go to any Catholic church and show the priest of that church his celebret, his paper. And the local priest there would set up the altar and let him say Mass in his church. But obviously that's over now. So now when a traditional Catholic priest travels anywhere, he always brings a Mass kit, which is a case with everything that he needs to say Mass inside of it. It has a chalice and vestments and a missal and everything that is supposed to go on the altar, a priest carries around with him in a box, so that he can say Mass wherever he goes. So the popes had one of these that belonged to St. Peter, and they all used it one after the other for 300 years. But when Constantine lifted the persecutions, and the pope at the time, St. Sylvester, dedicated the first church in Rome, he made a law that all churches from that point had to have a stone altar, because stone is a much more suitable material to make an altar on which to worship God. But he said the only exception to this rule was the papal basilica, where the high altar would have instead the actual portable wooden altar of St. Peter and his early successors. And that is still there to this day. And by the law of the church, only the Pope himself is allowed to celebrate Mass on this wooden altar. I really encourage you to look at pictures of this beautiful church when you get home. It's called, again, the Basilica of St. John Lateran. It's important to see what the church builds for God's house when it can, because it truly gives us an idea of the grandeur of God and of the people who served God before us in the faith. That is part of our faith, part of how the Catholic Church wants to worship God by these glorious buildings. Most of us now, especially those of us who are younger or born before Vatican II, when we think of a Catholic Church, meaning a true Catholic Church with the Holy Eucharist reserved in the tabernacle and with true priests giving valid sacraments and the true Catholic faith, we imagine that place as somewhere basically like this, a small, humble building. Now, don't get me wrong, God sees beyond externals. What is important to God is primarily the faith and the love of with which the people build a place for him, rather than the actual building itself. God would much rather have a teepee full of devoted and faithful Catholics, rather than St. Peter's Basilica full of modernists and unbelievers, as it is today. But it does give us an idea of what the Catholic religion really wants to give to God when you look at these churches in Rome or in Europe. And when we come to a small chapel like this, we shouldn't think that this is really adequate. Our attitude should be that we wish we could give God something better, but this is the best that we can do. And of course, God accepts this. But when you walk into a church like the Basilica of St. John Lateran, you just get overwhelmed by the size and the beauty and the grandeur of it. You can really feel the presence of God in these places in a way that you really can't feel anywhere else. Of course, God isn't there anymore, not in his Eucharistic presence, certainly, or in the presence of faithful Catholic worshipers. But he is still reflected in the structures of these buildings, because they were built by people who had the faith. And it's something that everybody should do at least once in their lives, to go to Rome and see the glory that the Catholic Church has built. Instead, unfortunately, people spend the same amount of money basically to go to tropical islands to look at the ocean, which we can look at right here where we are practically anyway, and then all they do is drink little cocktails with umbrellas in them, which they could buy at their local liquor store anyway, a lot cheaper too. Another thing that seeing these churches would do for us would be to encourage us in our faith. As traditional Catholics, we are reduced to a very tiny number of people. Only a very few people in the world believe the way we do, and that can be intimidating to be in such a position. And we probably have co-workers or family members who tell us that we are behind the times and we are medieval and our beliefs have been disproved and they're obsolete. And looking around us, it's hard to resist that idea. But that is completely false. Not only is our holy faith proved beyond any doubt, but it is the people of this world that are foolish, because their statement that nobody believes the way we do is equally absurd. It is actually the modern world and modern man that is really at odds with the rest of mankind. Most of the errors of modern times, like evolution, like the complete denial of the spiritual world, their belief that matter is the only thing that exists, their denial of God and the immortality of the soul, all of these ideas are very abnormal in terms of human history. We can truly say to these people that they are the ones with the weird ideas. That nobody believed the way they do in any significant number until the French Revolution at the earliest. And yes, we are a small minority of mankind now, but modern man himself is a small minority in comparison with the rest of human history by the same ratio. And I think going to see these beautiful churches, ideally in person, but at the very least, looking at the pictures of them on the internet, will help us to see our struggle today in a better perspective. It'll give us a better idea of where we are. The situation that we are in today in the church might seem normal now because we're used to it, but it's not normal by any stretch. For 2,000 years, almost everybody in the civilized world believed exactly the way we do. The Basilica of St. John Lateran was built by trads, as was St. Peter's Basilica and every other beautiful church. And it's true that the modernist heretics have the keys to these places now, but they don't build anything like that. They can't, and they never have. Instead, they build places that look like warehouses or steakhouses or fun houses sometimes, because they don't worship the true God, and God is not present in those places. Just imagine if you came home from a trip and you drove to what you thought was your house, and it looked totally different. You didn't recognize it. You would say, "Wait, this isn't my house. I don't belong here. Where am I?" And God does the same thing when he looks down at these places that are built supposedly for him. The Basilica of St. John Lateran and all of the other beautiful churches are truly part of our heritage as Catholics. They have been stolen by people who don't appreciate their beauty, and by people who in fact have destroyed many of these churches. And the ones they didn't destroy, many of them they vandalized and disfigured them. But these were built to be sermons in stone, and they truly are. One look and at one of these beautiful basilicas, and you understand the glory of God much better than 100 sermons could tell you. And that is why they supported the faith of these people for so many centuries. And they would do so today if the people still had the faith. But we have the faith, and we should take some time to look at and profit from these places. Especially now when it's so easy to look at them with modern technology, with the internet, with big screens, we can get a sense of what they look like. The inside of St. John Lateran's Basilica is truly like a vision of heaven, and that is what it was intended to look like by the people who built it. If we persevere unto the end, if we keep the same faith of so many millions who have gone before us in the faith, we also will enjoy the true vision of heaven and the true vision of God for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.